You're listening to TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now let's return to Pageant Talk Radio on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to the show. This is such a popular section of our program where I answer your questions with great coaching answers. But before I go to today's questions, I've been getting a lot of emails, tons and tons of emails, about how contestants can go about selecting the best pageant to compete in. I think what often happens is contestants compete in their spring preliminaries and local preliminaries, and they're maybe not getting a score or a placement that is what they expected or what they feel reflects their potential. So today, before I answer the individual pageant coaching questions, I wanted to just walk you through a brief outline of how I help my private coaching students and what you should be considering when you're selecting a pageant. And of course, step one is so important. You should evaluate your own unique gifts and talents. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses. There are no contestants in the pageant industry, no title holders, whether at the national or international level or the local or state level, who are completely perfect in all areas of competition. Everyone has at least one flat spot. So what you need to do is make a realistic evaluation of your own gifts and talents. Stop and take some time to make an honest inventory or a list of what you're naturally gifted at and what your natural abilities. Some of the things that you want to consider are A, public speaking and interview abilities. You know, is it easy for you to speak at work when you're giving a presentation? Is it easy for you to speak at school when you're talking about a project? Or are you someone that wants another member of the group to speak at the presentation? So you need to realistically evaluate your public speaking or interview abilities. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think you fall? Then you need to do an evaluation of your on-stage modeling skills. So that would be B, your on-stage modeling skills. Do you feel completely confident when you're on stage? Do you feel relaxed? Is it easy for you to smile and model? Or are you a little more timid and shy? Do you feel like you're kind of holding something back? And do you just not really know what you're supposed to be doing on stage? Again, go ahead and rate your skills 1 to 10. And it might make sense to ask someone else to rate your skills on this one, too. This is an area of pageant competition that people can see. They can't see your personal interview, so that's hard to get their advice. But they can see your onstage modeling skills and see how you're doing. Ask them to rate you on a scale of 1 to 10. And then you need to evaluate your fitness level, your ability to compete in swimsuit or aerobic wear, depending on your pageant competition. You need to take a realistic evaluation. You need to be slender but not skinny, fit but not buff, and you need to be able to be confident but not cocky. That's really, really important when you're considering your abilities in fitness. And go ahead and, again, score yourself from 1 to 10. Then, if your pageant includes a community service aspect, you need to rate how much community service you're doing. If you're doing 1 to 2 community service events a year, that's probably not going to be enough to come in the elite pageants with the community service expectations that they have. So you'll want to give yourself some consideration of what level of community service you've done and what level of community service you're willing to commit to. For a lot of women, they're so busy with other aspects of their lives that they really don't have the time to practice and polish a talent presentation or to learn a new talent. So if that's an issue for you, you need to be honest with it up front. Nobody likes to go to a talent competition and stand there on stage and deliver a talent presentation that they're not completely prepared to deliver and that they don't feel 100% confident in. And then for some pageants, if you're competing in the teen or preteen or the Miss, you may need to consider your academic record. There are some pageants that do request transcripts or a summary from a counselor of how you're doing in school so that they know whether or not you meet the scholarship requirements for the pageant. So once again, when you're evaluating your own unique gifts and talents on a scale from 1 to 10, evaluate your public speaking or your interview abilities, your onstage modeling skills, fitness and swimsuit or aerobic wear, community service experience, whether or not there's a talent presentation that you want to deliver, and evaluate your academic record. Now that you've made that list and evaluated yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, check with some of those aspects of your evaluation with family members or friends. Are there areas that they think you could improve with a little coach or a little coaching or a little work? Are there areas which realistically you're never going to be your strength? Some girls just are very honest. They don't want to do talent. That's not going to ever going to be a strength for them, so they look for pageants that don't have talent. Other contestants really want to focus on fitness but don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time on community service. You need to be obvious. You need to be honest and ask yourself which pageant competition areas realistically are not ever going to be a strength. And then, of course, you look for pageants that don't include that particular area of competition. By making an objective evaluation of your natural skills and ability, you'll be able to select your perfect pageant. Okay, so now that we've got an evaluation or an understanding of our unique gifts and talents, the next thing to do is review the pageant judging criteria and compare it with your strengths. Now, when I say review the pageant judging criteria, I don't mean look at the homepage on the pageant website, and I don't mean flip through the brochure and the marketing materials that they gave you. I meant go to the part of the pageant website where it says what the scoring divisions are and what the percentage is for each division. You will often see the area on the pageant website listed as judging or scoring, but sometimes you'll find it in the rules and regulations section of the website. When you're evaluating whether or not your skills meet the evaluation and rule, when you're judging whether or not your skills meet the judging criteria for the pageant, look for pageants that focus on your top three areas from the first item above. So if you scored low in community service experience or accomplishment, and you also scored low in talent presentation, you would probably want to pick a pageant that did not include those areas of competition. If you always score amazingly high in public speaking or interview abilities, you want to pick a pageant that has very strong scores in public speaking or interview, perhaps 50% of your score. If your strongest areas should add up to at least 65% of your total score. So, for example, if your strongest areas are onstage modeling and fitness level, you're going to look for a pageant where 65% of the total score depends on your onstage presentation in gown, fitness, and sportswear. If you're strong in academic achievements and student leadership, you should look for pageants that include your academic record and community service as at least 30% of your score. If you don't think fitness is your strength, look for pageants that emphasize other aspects in the scoring. This is just kind of like one of those matching games where you played when you were smaller. You take the things that you're good at and you match it to those things in the pageant, and then that's the pageant that you do. While you're in there at the website looking at the scoring and the judging criteria, I want you to also take a look at their website and check the previous winners. Most pageants will include a brief bio of the reigning queen, and it can provide very helpful information for you as a potential contestant. If the bio emphasizes her strong community service and leadership accomplishments, you'll probably need to have a similar background in order to stack up. Just makes sense. If the emphasis is on her academic achievements, you'll know that academic achievement is important for that particular pageant system. Really read the current title holder's bio and look for hints about what made her the perfect choice for that particular pageant system. Now that you've done that, you've got your research about yourself, you've got your research about the pageant, go ahead and check with your pageant friends, whether it's a hair and makeup artist you use, a pageant boutique owner, or a pageant coach, maybe some pageant contestants that you know and remain friendly with. Check for them for feedback about the pageant. Experts and people who have been around in the pageant industry get feedback from contestants all the time. I get feedback from people who read my email newsletter, from people who listen to the show, from my private coaching appointments, from other industry leaders within pageantry. I get feedback about pageants all the time, and I know that lots of other pageant professionals are getting feedbacks too. While most pageants are absolutely fabulous, some aren't. And to be honest with you, we know which ones those are. So check with your pageant support team and ask them if they've heard of the pageant you're considering and what feedback have they received from contestants competing in this pageant in the last 12 to 24 months. Ask if the pageant has a reputation for delivering the prize package advertised. There are some pageants that advertise great prize packages, but they never actually get delivered because the director always manages to find a loophole that you didn't fulfill in the contract. Make sure you take the time to investigate the reputation of the pageant you're entering so that you won't be disappointed after spending all your time and money preparing to wear that particular pageant crown. And lastly, once you've made a firm decision about which pageant you want to compete in or don't want to compete in, make that plan and stick to it. Whether you decide to enter or not enter, don't change your mind at the last minute. You don't want to spend all your time and money entering a pageant and then deciding at the last minute that that's not the right pageant for you after all and pull out, because you're probably not going to get your entry fee back. Most pageants do not refund entry fees. Some pageants may credit you an entry fee for next year's competition, but you're not going to get your entry fee back. And conversely, don't decide not to do a pageant and then change your mind a week before the pageant and try to wing it with more preparation. One of the biggest mistakes that contestants make is they research the pageant, they match it to the skills that they have, and then they check for feedback, and they get feedback that this pageant is not a reputable pageant, doesn't have a good reputation with former title holders or contestants, and doesn't deliver on the prize package. And for some reason, contestants always think, well, that was her experience, but it's going to be different with me. I can handle it. I'm stronger. If you're getting consistently bad feedback about a pageant, I guarantee you it's not going to be different for you, and you should look for another pageant. Selecting the right pageant and then consistently working your plan is definitely a recipe for having a great pageant experience. Well, so that's everything you need to know about selecting a pageant that's a perfect fit for you. Once you've selected your pageant and you're all set and you want to know how to have your best pageant year ever, just check out my free audio recording, Top 10 Steps to Make This Your Best Pageant Year Ever, on the shop page of my website at www.valeriehays.com. It's a free audio. You can click on it to listen or download it to your computer and iPod. It will walk you through the 10 things you need to know to be absolutely pageant fab at your next pageant. Well, now let's move on to today's coaching questions. Angelica sends us a note saying, I'm entering my first state Miss USA pageant, and I'm told that it's a mention scoring system. What exactly does that mean? A mention scoring system, Angelica, is where you're not rated on a score of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10 or 1 to 20. It's basically a 1 or a 0. So when you come out in a swimsuit in your state Miss USA pageant, if they think you look great in swimsuit, you get a 1. If they think you look kind of average or not so much at all, you get a 0. So if there were 5 judges judging the state Miss USA pageant you're competing in, and you were tallying up the scores, the perfect score would be a score of 1 from each one of those judges. So in that case, with 5 judges, a perfect score in your swimsuit competition would be 5. And what happens is they do mention for everything. So it's your personal interview, your swimsuit, and then your evening gown. So there's 3 areas of competitions. Once again, let's pretend that we had 5 judges, and each judge gave you 1 point because you were wow in all of those. So a perfect score in the mention system in 3 areas of competition with 3 judges would be 15. If there were 7 judges and you could get 7, obviously you could get 7 in each individual event, a perfect score would be 21. What they do at the end of preliminaries is they total up the total score, and the girl with the most points, the most ones, it moves on, those girls move on to the top 15 and so on and so forth. So the mention system is not a ranking where you get 1 to 5 or 1 to 10. It's a scoring system where you either get a 1 or a 0. It's very common for people to get 2 ones in 2 areas of competition and then get a 0 and still make the top 15. But basically it's a 1 or 0. They either think you're good or they're giving you a 0 because you were average or below average. Our next question comes to us from Liza. Liza says, I'll be competing in a local pageant that leads to my state teen USA pageant. I get to pick my own swimsuit, and I'm wondering, should I pick a 1-piece or a 2-piece swimsuit? Is there anything I should make sure to avoid when picking a swimsuit? Well, congratulations, Liza, on entering your local pageant. I am sure it's going to be lots of fun for you. When you're picking out a swimsuit, most teen contestants will really look great in a 2-piece swimsuit. If your personal faith is one that requires more modesty and you prefer a 1-piece suit, that's absolutely fine. They are not going to score you down for that. Or if you have a scar, perhaps you had a surgery when you were young and you want to cover that up with a 1-piece swimsuit, that's absolutely fine. You're not going to get scored down. While most teen contestants will wear a 2-piece suit, it's not going to score you down as long as you're fit and can model well in that 1-piece. As far as anything you should avoid when picking a swimsuit, most pageant professionals or wardrobe stylists will tell you to avoid any bright patterns, So for example, a polka dot or a plaid or an unusual floral. Most contestants seem to score best when they're wearing a solid color suit. I think this is because then there's more attention paid to you and your fitness level and modeling abilities as opposed to a suit while they're looking at kind of a bright print, which can be distracting. So those are a few things I think you should consider when selecting your swimsuit for your competition, Liza. I hope that helps and good luck. Our next question comes to us from Anne Marie. Anne Marie writes, I competed in my state USA pageant last year as a teen, and this year I'll be competing as a Miss. Is there anything I should do differently this year? That's a great question, Anne Marie. There are a few things that make the Miss division different than the teen. First of all, you get to look more Miss. You get to wear those slightly sexier styles that you probably avoided as a teen. So go ahead and wear a low-cut gown or a slit or perhaps a low-cut back. Don't wear them all at the same time. You don't want to have so many fashion features, a really high slit, a really low cut gown, and a really low back, that you start to cross over from sexy to sleazy. But it's okay to look sexy as a Miss, and that's certainly a visual that the USA pageant seems to prefer. You want to look sexy but classy. The next thing you need to do is prepare for your interview. In your interview, the questions are going to be more complicated, they're going to expect more analysis on your part, and they're going to expect more opinions. They aren't going to be asking tons of current event questions, but they are going to be expecting you to know what's going on in the world. Those are the two major differences between the Miss and the teen division at your state pageant. So good luck as you get ready for your state USA pageant. We wish you all the best as a Miss. Our next question comes to us from Tyler. Tyler says, in the past for other pageants, I've worn an interview suit, but I just received my state USA paperwork, and it says to wear a church dress. I'm confused. What should I be wearing for my interview? I agree, Tyler, that the change in the requirements for interview has been confusing for some contestants. In some area of the country, contestants in their state USA pageant are still wearing a traditional interview suit, whether a skirt and pant. In other areas of the country, they're being asked to wear casual attire. And in some groups of the areas of the country, they're being asked to wear jeans and the pageant t-shirt or khakis in the pageant t-shirt. So I can totally understand why you're confused. Generally speaking, if they're saying to wear a church dress, you want to wear a dress with heels, of course, that is dressy enough to wear to church, so it's not something that you're just wearing to the mall with your girlfriends or, you know, as you're going to a movie, that it's something a little bit dressier, but it is not a cocktail dress. They don't want you to cross over the line and be in cocktail. You could also ask if it's okay if you wear a skirt and blouse that meets that same criteria. But generally speaking, when they say church dress, they want a nice dress that you might wear to a baptism event at church or a communion of a family member or maybe even a wedding, but they don't want you to cross over the line into cocktail. And make sure, again, Tyler, that you read that wardrobe section of your handout or your letter closely to see if there are any specific suggestions. And then you can also go onto the pageant website. Most of the pageants now are listing snapshots from previous years and showing the people who competed last year. And some of them will have their pictures taken before they go into interview. And you can take a look at what most of the contestants were wearing last year, as well as the girls who were in the top five and the ultimate winner. One, it'll kind of give you a good clue as to what was valuable for the judges in interview attire for that particular pageant. So good luck, Tyler, as you prepare for your next pageant. We're so excited for you and hope that it goes well. Our last question comes from Francesca. Francesca wants to know how to make the transition from a festival pageant to her first competition at the state level, and she says she's a teen. Francesca, the most important thing is to really check out that pageant website. There's going to be a difference in what the contestants were wearing last year, and that's going to be the major difference between your festival pageant and the USA pageant. At the festival pageant, you're getting lots of the same questions in interview. There might be more of them, and they might be a little harder, but they're very, very similar. But you'll want to check out their wardrobe requirements because that's going to be the biggest difference for your next pageant. Well, that's it for this week's show. Remember to keep your emails coming about the shows you love and the shows you'd like us to do. Next week, I'll be talking with leading pageant stylist Robin Fleming of La Casa Hermosa and Savvy Magazine founders and editors Stacey Cole and Jessica Nicely about this year's Miss USA pageant. Remember to get advance notice of all my guests, just sign up for my free newsletter at www.valeriehays.com. Thanks so much for listening, and make this week a pageant fab week.
Do you have the number one tool used by elite title holders to create a winning pageant interview? Do you want to ace any question during your pageant interview? You need to get your copy of Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions today. The biggest mistake contestants make when practicing is using a limited list of practice questions. If you're practicing on your own or with the same practice partner, you're going to be practicing the same questions over and over. It's just hard to think of a wide variety of practice questions on your own. Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions eliminates that problem and helps you prepare to answer any pageant interview question. Plus, the questions are specific to your competition division. 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions is a downloadable ebook. Just download it to your computer and start developing your interview skills today. Visit Valerie's website, www.pageantinterviewcoach.com, and click on products. With Valerie's Perfect Practice Pageant Questions, you're on your way to a winning pageant interview. Are you frustrated shopping for your pageant wardrobe in stores where the selection is limited, is outrageously priced, or just not pageant worthy? Purchase your pageant wardrobe from someone who can help you find exactly what's right to fit your look, personality, and budget. Someone who understands your needs. After all, she is a former national title holder herself. Narita Stefanos, owner of My Crowning Closet and Mrs. American Queen 2006, knows the pageant world and knows what it takes to put together a winning wardrobe, even on a limited budget. Visit MyCrowningCloset.com today to find out for yourself. My Crowning Closet carries all the top pageant designers, including Giovanni, Sherry Hill, Tony Bowles, and lots more. Narita can help put together your winning look in all areas of the competition. With personalized customer service and a caring touch, My Crowning Closet is a winning combination. Visit MyCrowningCloset.com today and develop the winning look to capture that crown.
Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on a secret. I've just released an audio CD of my Mastering the Pageant Interview Teleseminar, and I'm making it available to listeners of the show. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, plus 2 secrets for winning in the onstage interview. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPod. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my new Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $99.95. I want you to know, though, that as soon as the audio CD is posted on the website and available to the general public, the price is going to go up. So get yours today by visiting www.tinyurl.com/PAG-MTPI for Mastering the Pageant Interview, so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.